Hello and welcome to
Let's Clear the Air with me, Jess,
and me, Kaylee. Each week we will be exploring a different theme, the hidden meaning behind it and the impact it's had on our culture. Specifically, looking at our favourite eras and the eras that shaped us, the 90s and noughties. Hey!
Hi guys, we are back with episode 3 of our Playboy section.
Yes, very, very. I've been obsessed with everything Playboy. I have been anyway, since obviously you've got me started on everything. But actually, it's got even worse. So over the weekend, I watched the first 3 episodes of Kendra Sells Hollywood. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Then I watched 4 episodes of The Playboy Murders and some of the second series of Secrets of Playboy. And then obviously their new episode of Girls Next Level. Like, it's getting a little bit too much. I know I'm getting slightly obsessed now. I need to walk away at some point.
Yeah. So we'll end it on this episode where we need to pull back, because the problem is with looking to the Playboy, it's so much deeper than anything because of what's coming out now. Obviously, I knew it back then as the girls of the Playboy Mansion, the girls next door. And I really bought into the, like most of the people did that were watching this series, the happy, fun, family element of the thing. But now, obviously, after Me Too movement, after a lot of people coming forward and things that were covered up within the Playboy enterprises, we was given the show The Secrets of Playboy, and that's what we're going to have a little dive into today.
Yeah, before we get started, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, although, thank you.
I'm watching hours of this Secrets of Playboy just recapping, and I'm like, cool.
Yeah, it's rough. I don't know what's going on with my subconscious, but I am having the oddest dreams at the moment. Like really freaky. Like, I had one, and it's been like, what am I on now? I think I'm on the 4th or 5th night in a row of having like really freaky dreams. So the first night I had one that I crashed my car. So like, I was around the area of like my grandparents, and I like crashed my car, which apparently is like someone really toxic in your life, really negative in your life. And I was like, okay. Then the next night I actually had a dream that I run someone over, like killed them.
I've had that before. It's horrible.
It's horrible. Like, yeah. So I had, it was like a bunch of kids that like weren't getting out of the way in front of a corner shop. And then I was like beeping. And just as everyone jumped out of the way, one person didn't. And I ran them over. And then
you keep these a note of all your dreams, because I find whenever something going on in my life, I'll Google my dream meaning, spiritual meaning behind your dreams. And 9 times out of 10, everything has been spot on. They're very important to take note of.
Oh, all right. So when I Googled what that was about in terms of dreams, it said that it was really stressful work. Like, it was obviously subconscious, because I feel like fine. So I don't know what that was about. Then had a dream that, like, literally, and these are consecutively, it's not like weeks, it consecutively. Then next night I had a dream that I was back at school, and I basically was running late. So I didn't walk to school with the people that I knew. So then I got there, but I'd missed like tutor, so I didn't get like my timetable. So I didn't know where I was meant to be, what was going on. And you know, like that stress you got when you were younger, where you just didn't know, like that first day of school vibes, that was it. And that completely stressed me out. And then this is probably just to do with my Playboy obsession. Last night I had a dream that I was one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends.
I had the same dream last night.
Did you?
I kid you not.
You're joking.
I kid you not. I had the same dream last night. I said to Jermaine this morning, I dreamt that I was one of Hefner's girlfriends.
Yeah, I did as well.
Look, I literally had that dream last night. We knew, oh God, what's going to happen?
This is too much information. So everyone just like cover your ears. But I actually had like a dream about the bedroom routine as well.
Lucky I didn't go that far.
Not of anything happening, but just of like everyone going upstairs, the pajama thing, the bath thing. And then I woke up.
Oh my God, how mental that we both had the same dream. Do you reckon we were just anticipating this podcast today?
Probably. So yeah, so that's what's going on with me. I'm just having really, I'm sleeping really strangely and having really weird dreams.
Write them all down. And then I'll go through them with obsessed with dreams.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, I was also going to say, when you said about the Me Too movement, did you, I remember reading this on an article and I was like looking up for all of the episodes we've done, that Hugh Hefner died like a week before the Me Too movement went like viral. Isn't that really like mad though, that I'm not saying, I don't know, but I don't know. It's just
I get what you're saying.
And then did you see like Crystal Hefner's memoirs coming out soon, isn't it? And it details quite a lot. It'll be
really interesting to read that one. So I'm looking forward to that.
100%. Definitely. I can't believe that her, sorry, then we will actually get on the episode. I can't believe that her, her curfew was 6 p.m.
Oh my God.
It said when I read an interview that her curfew was 6 p.m.
It's such an element of control. And I think that's what the Secrets of Playboy really delves into. Yeah. So just to, if you haven't seen the Secrets of Playboy, I think it's on Channel 4 now. You can watch what the first season of on its own. Season 2 isn't out in the UK yet. But in the Secrets of Playboy, there are a handful of Hef's exes that feature on the show. And these include Holly Madison, who we've obviously spoken about a lot, and one of his girlfriends from the 70s, early 80s, who was called Sondra Theodore. And her account is really troubling. Both of them, what I wanted to try and do was get some notes down of what they can both, you know, they're very different times.
One's 70s,
one's 2000s. So, you know, basically, they both expressed that they were taped and Polaroids were taken of the girls who went to the bedroom. So we've known that, obviously, throughout our discussions, throughout watching and reading, that that was often a thing. And even Kendra Sells Hollywood, that is brought up when Crystal comes onto the show in season 2, that she'd found the Polaroids and ripped them all up, which was a great thing to do. Holly says getting into the Playboy world was a dangerous choice, and Hef controlled every aspect of their lives, which included the 9 p.m. curfews. Now, obviously, going into that world and you look at it from the outside, previous to finding all this information, it looks like the happy home. But what relationship tells you you have to have a curfew? That's a father figure, should be, surely. That's when you get told when you're a child what your curfew is, not as grown women in an adult relationship. So you can see the controlling element of Hef throughout all of these relationships. She says they were all gaslit to think of Hef as a really good guy and that they were kind of isolated from the outside world. She claims that Hef's girlfriends were pitted against each other so they could keep control. And now I think we've seen that in life in general, that women get pitted against each other because it does leave the man in the top pillar spot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever come across relationships, had relationships or seen relationships where the guy's a bit of an ass. So he'll purposely say, oh, couldn't you look like her, or your clothes are a bit shit. I've certainly been in them relationships. And the minute I'm pitted against myself or someone else, like, oh, why don't you have your hair like hers? That them kind of comments, you become less, they become more in your eyes. And it's all a way of gathering control. And I think listening to that has helped me in my life look back at times and be like, shit, I allowed that. And that's exactly what was happening. It's like a manual men must get somewhere that they're given to figure out how to control and pit people against each other. And it's quite frightening.
Yeah, it is definitely. I think that in general, I'm always mystified by the fact that, I know this is a generalization, but I do think it stands, is that men will look at a screen or, like you said, will look at Instagram models, watch porn, whatever it is, and be like, why don't you look like that? But it doesn't work the other way around. Like, I've never, you know, like me and Kieran love watching the F1, and I don't particularly say anything, but I remember once I was like, oh, like, you know, stunner. But he just goes, okay, he doesn't think, oh, I should look like that, or oh, Kaylee means that I should go in. Whereas with men, and I know, like I say, this is a generalization, but a lot of the time they then will be like, why can't you go to the gym or cut down on the calories and look like that? Whereas I just don't think it's the same the other way around.
The reason of that is because since being a child, we're told to be pretty and be quiet. Yeah. It's like that Barbie thing again, all over. Yeah. Be quiet one, be the submissive one, but be sexy. Don't be too sexy. Don't intimidate other people, but you've got to be, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, as a kid, aren't you a pretty little girl? And you're cute. And and I think the way we're kind of brought up makes that a very easy. Young girls have been told to be.
100%.
You're a slag. If you go against, you know, there's all these different things that they tell us that we're supposed to be.
And how it's your feelings. Yeah. Have you had it before where you've gone clubbing and you've put on a dress and you feel so confident in it, and it is a bit short and it is a bit tight, but like you feel great, and then you walk into it's literally that scene in Barbie, you know, when she like walks down the, literally, so you feel empowered, you feel great, you feel like I've dressed for me, I feel amazing, and you walk through like a pub or a club, and literally you get from the start of it where you feel great and amazing and like confident, and you get to the other side and you feel gross and wrong and like,
Yeah, I mean, I get that more now I'm older. I think when I was younger, I got so caught up in the whole idea of trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
That I open myself, not open myself, but that's completely the wrong words. I almost liked the attention because I was so not used to it, because I was the cute one and I was little and I had no boobs. So when I went and got boob job and hair done and short dresses, I was like, yeah, look at me, look at me.
Mm.
And I'm completely reversed now. Like,
yeah.
Even wearing shorts sometimes, I'm a bit like, oh, I'm careful what I post on Instagram. And I haven't found my balance right with that yet. And I know that's something, because I went from behaving in a certain way, what I thought was to make me a woman, make me feel attractive to men. And that was obviously not the real me.
Mm.
I was by what I'd kind of seen or tried to be about.
Yeah.
And when I came out of that stage, and after I got rid of all of that kind of part of me and I realized I could be me to be loved.
Yeah.
I then stage of then covering up, not letting people look at me, not wearing too much makeup, not doing my hair, wearing frumpy clothes. And then it's only recently this has hit me, and I was doing a 6-week course with my friend who's quite a spiritual person, and she does this womb healing course. And some bad things have happened to us all, I think, in the past when it comes to sexual issues.
Mm.
I think we sometimes cover up and hide so that if you don't get looked at, that can't happen to you. So I've gone from one extreme to the other. And it's only recently I thought, she said to me, you are allowed to, if you want to put your makeup on and feel good, you do that for you. And I was thought to myself, shit, you know what? I used to go every morning and make myself feel good. And I've not been doing that. And I know I've been, but it was deeper than that.
Mm.
And so every morning, again, even if I've not been feeling great, I've been putting my makeup on and putting it on, not just my trackies, because I was wearing trackies every day. And I was like, I'm going to put on clothes that make me feel nice.
Mm.
I've been doing that again. And I don't know if lockdown had a bit of an impact.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's almost given me a sense of I'm worth it every morning again, rather than just getting in my old routine and feeling a bit crappy. So we're never going to be able to dissect everyone's issues with where it lies. And
I used to be terrible. Like when I was younger, I was such a prude. Like I remember, like as a teenager, like I wouldn't wear pencil skirts. I wouldn't wear, you know, like the high fashion was like the tight jeans, like to school. I'd wear like the baggy, like trousers and things like that. And I remember getting so upset that no one loved me or fancied me because I wouldn't wear the makeup and I wouldn't necessarily showcase my body or my, do you get what I'm saying? Like but it didn't mean that I didn't think I was pretty or didn't think that I was desirable. Does that make sense? But I suppose I was constantly told that I wasn't, because the girls that were, it feels weird to say chosen, but the girls that got the attention and things like that were. And then it made me go the other way. And then 17, 18, like you said, you kind of go the other way. And it's just a whole cycle. And I'm completely deviating from the point of the podcast, but I think it's really interesting that, you know, how we're perceived and things like that.
Definitely. And I think everything with how we've been brought up, with how our peers are around us, with whether they're bullied or not, there's so many contributing factors to the reason why we do things that we do. We've just got to
focus
on ourselves and what works for us. And sometimes some people are unfortunate and get picked up by predators during this time, and it changes the whole course of their life.
And I think
that is, you know, the dangerous part of it.
Yeah, and I think when you are able to watch the second series of Playboy in the UK, which is on, what's it on in America? What's it called? It's a weird name, isn't it? ABC, no.
A&E.
A&E, that's it.
Accident emergency.
Yeah, that's what I think every time. The second series looks a lot at the implications of that. And I think that kind of touches on what we're talking about now, is like the implications and the judgment and how after posing nude for Playboy, that's had an effect on the people that have done it. Not like your Holly Madisons or your people that have reached fame and fortune. Not that they haven't been through it, but just as in that they've got some other payoff from it. But actually people who just, you know, modeled nude for Playboy once and then became school teachers, what's the implications on that on their life? And I found that fascinating. But back to series one.
Really, really, really looking forward to seeing season two, because it's not out in the UK. I'm desperate to see it.
Yeah.
Sorry, just my little interruption. My camera decided that it has no more space. I've just quickly, whilst been doing that, deleted it.
Oh, no.
Okay, I'm back in.
Okay.
Right. So on to Sondra again, because I thought her story was quite
harrowing.
For me to even listen to someone saying it was absolutely troubling. So she was 19, Hef was 15, came in a relationship with him. It was her first proper relationship. So already, knowing what I know now as an adult, rather than looking back at 19-year-old me that sees things differently, as a 34-year-old woman, I look at that and think, why and what does a 50-year-old man have in common with a 19-year-old child? I'll tell you what it is, easy to control. Because if you come to me and say, oh, you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that, and then I'm 34, I'm going to have a mind of my own and say, go yourself, you know? It's very easy to manipulate young women, especially ones that have had troubled backgrounds. I've always said that. There's someone with a troubled background, they are absolute putty in your hands for people that are predators. And it is sad. It is awfully sad.
And even I think Holly Madison does suggest, I don't know where it is, maybe in her book, but that most of the women that Hugh has got,
they didn't come from anything, or they needed rescuing, or they were running that kind of thing. But Sondra says there was something called Pig Night. Did you listen to that?
Yeah, so, I do remember that, but I can't remember exactly what it was.
So two pimps would go and pick up the prostitutes on the Hollywood Boulevard and be taken back to the mansion for sex nights. The most troubling thing I found on The Secrets of Playboy was that they got a porn star and she was on drugs and alcohol, and she came up to the mansion and was made to have oral sex with a dog. And I believe, I don't think you can quote me on this, but I do believe at some point in the series or somewhere, Holly confirms that she found footage with that writing on the thing. So that did happen. And Sondra said she was there and she watched the porn star.
I just find stuff like, not that I don't find generally everything, but anything to do with animals physically makes me, like, I would strangle.
This is why this episode is really troubling. I was writing it down. I was thinking, this is so, so troubling.
Yeah.
Sondra said from her footage at the time at the mansion in the 70s, 80s, that there were drugs everywhere in the Chicago mansion. She recounts how Hef was fascinated by Charles Manson and would often watch the Manson home videos. And Holly even states living in the mansion and the Playboy world felt cult-like. Now, if you look at the similarities between Charles Manson and Hef, it was the groups of women. They idolized him. They fell in love with him. He had control over all of them. They were loyal followers. And it's almost like he thought that bit will work for this bit that I'm trying to do. Let's copy, like cut and paste.
But what do you think, just when you were talking then, I was thinking, like, what do you actually think Hugh Hefner's motivations for his life are?
Well, this is what I was going to ask you, because he always says that his legacy was to his view of giving sexual freedom and liberation. And change the way we see everything. But if we look back, throughout all of these topics we've spoken about, what is liberating about getting teenagers of a load of old men and doing things I don't want to particularly be doing? There's nothing liberating about that. There is a power about that.
Yeah.
Deeper into his psyche, Hef's story at the beginning was that he had been quite unlucky in love. He'd met someone
that,
to marry. He'd gone off to the war, came back, and I think she was pregnant with someone else's child.
Yeah.
Stories. So he was very out of control. And I feel that having the control of these women was almost like he didn't want to deal with the past. So he just fixed it so that couldn't happen to him again in the future. He became number one.
Yeah, and I don't know, liberation. Did it? I mean, I think the implications on a lot of women. So there's a woman in series two of, sorry to keep like, to keep like, I feel like I'm dangling series two of the series over you. But there's a woman. So basically, when they did the competition, they had Carmella, on the Girls Next Level podcast. They've had her twice, and she did the. Yeah. She did the reality show where one of them won to be the centerfold and they ended up free winning and all that. So one of them who didn't win, but she came in the top six. So she still did the nude photo shoot to see who would win. Like the final six did that.
She
actually went back. She had a 2-year-old at the time, and people in her town were so disgusted by what she'd gone and done that they actually called like child protection services. They took her child, and it took her a year of fighting to get her child back. And when she fought and asked like what is in the file, it was just the pictures of her modeling from Playboy. And the actual, when she went to court, the judge said like, you have been basically done dirty. Like, the only reason that you are here and this has all happened to you for the last year is because you modeled nude for Playboy, which is your choice. So it's like, yes, it gave women the option to do it, and financially $25,000, but I don't think it changed anyone's opinion. I think it was just another publication that people judged, like, you know, like Housewives and things like that. And I think, if anything, it liberated men and gave them easier access to seeing nude women.
Yeah. But also, if we go into another standards here, so that she got her child taken away because of having nude pictures in Playboy.
Yeah.
But Hepburn hadn't had his kids removed for having nude women all around Playboy.
Exactly.
And the whole magazine being based there. So what basis is that acceptable? Like, that
it wasn't
suing the person for that.
It wasn't even published in Playboy. It was just that she was in the final six and she'd had a nude photo shoot done on that TV show.
It's a disgrace.
It's absolutely a disgrace. But then look at
standards.
Exactly, but has it really changed? I mean, I know this is, but yeah, come back. Sorry, I feel like I'm straying off loads today. But like with like Love Island, people having sex on TV, there's still, you know, yeah, people can do it and people might feel liberated to do it, but they are still horrendously trolled and judged.
Mm.
And it's still that same thing.
I think that's where productions need to step in now, because you're doing a reality show, you still need to protect your contestants.
Yeah.
And I think that leads on to my next point, actually, with the, that perfectly leads into the bunnies were treated in the Playboy clubs because they weren't protected by Playboy.
No, and I think when and all sorts went on.
Like this, there needs to be protection all round. And like now I say, they don't actually show sex scenes, do they, on Love Island or reality shows?
No,
anymore.
And they don't have social media throughout the show. So the friends and family aren't running social media accounts.
Good. And I think there needs to be a level of protection. I'm glad that that's kind of become a thing. But when we look back to when Playboy clubs opened, there was all sorts of scandals that were covered up by Playboy. And they had their own internal like security systems and policing almost to try and keep the Playboy image safe. Now, one thing that really was shocking was, I have written it down, there's basically a group of men that some bunnies had met in the club, and these men posed as film directors. The girls were drugged, raped and filmed and held against their will, and then released. When they released them, they threatened that they'd show the footage and their lives would be over, until the girls spoke out to Playboy in the end at their club, and they got fired. So the girls got fired for being raped, filmed, drugged.
Oh my gosh.
And it was all to protect the Playboy's image. And the clubs had their own cleanup crew to keep scandals out of the press and protect the Playboy image.
But so, realistically, I don't think Hugh Hefner protected any of the enterprises that he made, like the magazine, the clubs, his girlfriends. I don't think he didn't protect anyone. There was no, when you actually think of, you know, how much we've looked at Playboy and the stories, he didn't protect anyone or any of the women. He used them and pawned them and had them. Well, I suppose it comes back to even his first magazine where he bought that, you know, pseudonym picture of Marilyn Monroe. Like, it comes back to, he didn't protect any women or help any women really at all.
Yeah, but I think there's so many different stories, because even on the Secrets of Playboy, there's so many different experiences for people. And I think that's important to remember. But it's also important to know that just because you didn't experience something bad doesn't mean someone else did or didn't. Just because you experienced something bad doesn't mean... There was a woman that said there's other people that Playboy made them. You look at Pamela Anderson, she has nothing good to say about Hef. She said he was a gentleman to her, and then she got her acting career out of it. Cool. She wasn't a girlfriend. She wasn't in there all the time. So
yeah,
when you look
at
the depth of it, it's the girlfriends that were there with him 24/7 under his control. It's a different story to maybe your friend Bob down the road who comes down for poker night or whatever. You're going to have different stories. There is a group ex-girlfriends that are team true Hef. They love him, they say everyone else is a liar, and I think that's wrong, because you can't tell someone else their story. And you know,
whether
that was good for you, fantastic, glad you had a good time and you didn't come out traumatized, but the other lot, and there is a lot of them that have.
And if I'm honest, my personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion, the people that had good experiences just didn't need that protecting, and they were lucky enough to not need that protection or help from HEF, and those who didn't have a good experience are the ones who went through those traumatic events, if that makes sense. I think that a lot of people who have positive experiences were lucky and they reaped the rewards of what happened without reaping any of the tragedy.
Yeah, I've got a question for you.
Go on. So,
do you think Playboy made a generation of maltreatment towards women, or do you follow Hef's view of giving that he was giving them sexual freedom and liberation? I know what you're going to answer.
Do you know what? I'm really torn because it's really hard, isn't it? Because when you hear a lot of people talking about how Playboy was in their home and mum and dad would be looking for like the bunny in the magazine and things like that, to me that suggests that there's an acceptance and it's more acceptable that they can see and they can visualize and see. I don't know. I personally don't think so. I think that it was what a lot of women went through under Hugh Hefner in the clubs as girlfriends is incredibly troubling, and I would rather none of them have gone through that. And if Playboy hadn't existed, I think another male magazine would have just existed.
I do wonder what life would be without Playboy and where we would have gone, because I do think it was the start of, I mean, women had no rights. It's all this, we don't know how history would change, but it very much objectifies women. And I kind of believe that TV, maybe starting with Playboy, because there was also the Playboy TV previous to all these chat shows and all that, where it did kind of misogyny. It led to a generation of men mistreating women. And if we look at TV after that, more our time, like Geordie Shore, Jersey Shore, them such programs, we have glorified men gaslighting, cheating, lying, treating women like shit. And I believe this has had an actual damaging effect on our culture when it comes to men and their thoughts of women. It became, you're a lad, mate. Yeah. Like I was in a conversation with Jermaine the other day and I said, I don't, you know, because I love how when you can have a literate conversation with your partner and make them change their views and their mind. And I'm thinking, okay, this is good that we're moving forward. But I was saying to him how, you know, if I didn't want to sleep with someone, say I went on 5 dates with someone and then I said, I only want to sleep with you if this is going to be into a relationship. I don't want to sleep with you otherwise. And they say, yeah. And then they ghost me after. I see that. And I don't know what anyone else says, that you're tricking someone into sex. It's wrong. It shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
But shows glorified that. They glorified the cheating. They glorified the gaslighting, which is a criminal offence now in relationships. It's coercion and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And these shows, I honestly believe, glorified it all to make it a funny thing for a lad to do, and you become a man when you can gaslight and lie and cheat to a woman. And I do feel like that culture became then our culture of the Geordie Shore kind of era.
And like, definitely. And like sleeping around in relationships is games. And like with Love Island and things like that, it's made everything a game when relationships and love and
humanizes everyone. They're no longer a woman that's got feelings. You're now this, what one can I fuck over first? And it's a very, very toxic kind of culture that has been bred by these shows to make 100%. People look like the man, and I think that needs to change. And I don't think anything will change until this kind of viewing gets wiped out.
Something else that really disgusts me is chat show hosts and their opinions. I've watched loads of interviews now of different girlfriends through the eras with Hugh Hefner, and female and male hosts, and female in particular, actually, like news presenters and hosts who have had these girlfriends with Hugh on TV shows, I think they are absolutely appalling. Like, you know, I haven't chosen to go and become Hugh Hefner's girlfriend, but why the fuck do you think you're able to treat them like they're some dumb blonde who doesn't know anything? They're thick. They just like basically treat them like sluts, honestly, is like the way you get it in those interviews. Yeah. And I think they should be, if I had done something like that, I'd be fucking appalled at myself that I'd made someone feel like that. And that I even felt that I could interview and talk to somebody like that. I just don't understand what goes through their brain. And how's that like women for all? And this is the only thing I say, like, you know, I think I personally fight for equality and feminism. I am a feminist, but some women can get in the bin because they think that feminism, women aren't allowed to be sexualized, they aren't allowed to you know, be open. Basically, what you're saying, what Hugh Hefner wanted to create, if that makes sense. There are other women who are just vile to other women. But it's like you said about pitting against each other. It's
I feel like we're still in our minds somewhere. There is this, you know, back in the bloody Roman times, they'd feed people to the lions to watch a fight for entertainment. I just feel like we still live that, but in a different way now. Media and it's, I don't know, it's a human conditioning problem rather than a, I think kindness kind of goes out the window for power.
Yeah, someone said to me the other day, she was like, I watched the Hunger Games the other day and I felt like we're living in the Hunger Games, and I was like
so I keep trying little bubbles and let's try and be safe.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, madness.
So that's kind of it for this week. We just wanted to go in depth in the secrets of Playboy because we can't forget there's so many elements to this enterprise that it is so hard to really pull everything out and kind of feel you've got to the end of it. I think because also, you know, Hef's not alive anymore, it's very difficult to, you know, we don't have any convictions. We don't have any of this kind of stuff around us. It's very, we just got to go by the experiences, whether they be good, whether they be bad, from people that lived in that world, because it is, and the reason why it fascinates everyone is because it was so unbelievable. It was like going into the Magic Kingdom. I think one of them said on the Secrets of the Playboy, it was literally like the Magic Kingdom. So when you always have a fascination by something and then you find out the undertone of what was going on, it makes it into very interesting and shocking discussions, and also discussions that need to be had, because a lot of these women have had the most horrendous experiences, and especially Sondra. So I do think if you haven't seen The Secrets of Playboy, Channel 4, go and have a look, because it's disturbing to say the least. And you know, the cover-ups of the clubs, the treatment of women, how that's impacted our society as women now going forward, and what that's meant for us, how would things be different if there was no Playboy? We won't ever know those answers.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting topic to kind of speak on and have a think about.
Definitely. So that kind of wraps up our 3-week kind of section on Playboy. The first, you know, first episode, we kind of looked at Hugh Hefner more as a businessman, the enterprise, starting Playboy, the implications of him personally, how he's had an effect, like talking more about like the liberation side, his kind of reasoning for Playboy. And then last week we looked at the reality show that came out, I'd say, when I suppose the boom of Playboy and the magazine itself was dwindling down. It then kind of re-emerged with this reality show that was all about the three girlfriends. We talked all about that, and then this week, of course, looking now really at everything that's come out afterwards in shows like The Secrets of Playboy and kind of our opinions on that. And ultimately, guys, it is our opinions, and it's from looking at it, and everyone, like you said, is justified and has a different experience, has been part of Playboy, and some people only have really positive things to say about that, and that's amazing. But even one horrific, traumatic experience that someone's had in 10 good ones is still, you know, horrific. Exactly.
So I guess everyone has their own opinions as well outside of Playboy and what they view of it, and it's just each to make up their own minds.
Definitely. And I would be really interested before we move on to kind of our next section, a topic that we're talking about that's 90s, 2000s themed, is what everyone else's opinions are on Playboy. I'd be really interested to see kind of from everyone who listens what they think about Playboy.
Yeah, and we'd love to for you to go to our Instagram page, which is @let's.clearTheAir, and just start the conversation up. We'll be there commenting as well alongside everyone. So it's just an interesting topic to dissect.
Absolutely. Do you want to say what our next topic's going to be?
Yes. So Playboy is wrapped up, done, boxed off. We're now somewhere very special to me. Somewhere where the imagination takes control. Somewhere where you can be your magical self when you jump on a train of Hogwarts. Yes, we are talking Harry Potter.
Yay! I'm so excited. And me and Jess were just talking about a really special way that we think we're going to like record the next few episodes and things like that. So we'll keep you updated with that. And yeah, you have to listen next week to see what we get up to.
See you later, guys. Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you all next week.
Make sure to subscribe to our Instagram, which is at @let's.clearthe air. And make sure to subscribe to us on any platform where you listen to us. We're on all the major ones. And yeah, we can't wait to be back next week.